Welcome to this special edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast, an interview with Dwayne Sparks, author of Questions, the Answer to Sales. On behalf of the entire Strategy Driven team, I would like to welcome you to this special edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast, an interview with Dwayne Sparks, author of Questions, the Answer to Sales. The Strategy Driven Podcast focuses on the tools and techniques executives and managers can use to improve their organization's alignment and accountability to ultimately achieve superior results. These podcasts elaborate on the best practice and warning flag articles found on the Strategy Driven website at www.strategydriven.com. In this special edition podcast, Dwayne Sparks, chairman and founder of the Sales Board, shares with us his insights on gaining client trust and engagement by asking questions. A foundational component of the action selling process, asking the best questions enables the salesperson to better understand their client's needs and align their product or service offerings to fulfill those needs, establishing the salesperson as a value-adding consultant rather than a commodity seller. And so now, without any further delays, let's get started. We are privileged to be joined by Dwayne Sparks, author of Questions, the Answer to Sales, and chairman and founder of the Sales Board, an organization of sales management and training professionals who teach the critical selling skills that have the greatest impact on gaining customer commitment. For more than two decades, Dwayne and his organization have trained sales professionals in the use of his unique action selling method, certifying over 350,000 salespeople in more than 3,000 organizations. These individuals and their companies have subsequently realized a dramatic increase in sales, resulting in six times the revenue increase of similar firms. Dwayne, welcome back to the Strategy Driven Podcast.
Thank you, Nathan. It's great to be back with you.
Dwayne, I know you're traveling this week, so I really do appreciate your taking the time to be with us today to talk about Questions, the Answer to Sales. Now, our audience, I think, knows that the book is the third of a five-book series on the action selling process. And the question book in particular focuses largely on acts two and three of that process. So to begin our conversation, I was hoping that you could briefly describe the action selling process itself, and in particular, focus on acts two and three.
I can do that. Action selling is it's essentially a proactive communications process, and it's used to help plan, conduct, close, and follow up on a sale. Now, when it's done correctly, it's a system that treats the buyer with respect, mm-hmm. and it leads to lasting relationships and hopefully a lot of repeat business down the road. Action selling provides, it's a research-proven system. So it provides a framework that recognizes and follows the documented sequence of buying decisions that every customer makes during a major purchase. And there are five of these decisions that customers make, five smaller decisions that make the overall decision.
Okay.
Those five decisions include salesperson, the company that salesperson represents, the product or service, the price or value of that product or service, and the customer decides the time to buy. Now, the acts of action selling are matched up with those buying decisions, and they occur in the same sequence, or they should occur in the same sequence that the buyers make their decisions. Acts 2 and 3, of course, they're on the front end of the sales process.
Sure.
They involve and they're focused on that first buying decision, which is the salesperson. So what we're doing as we are going through Acts 2 and 3, we are impacting the decision that the customer is making about us. So the Act 2 is the rapport and interest segment of the sales call. And that's where we ask questions to build rapport with the customer, to get them talking, and to start to have an exchange. So we are interested in them as people, and we're interested in their company, and what's current with their company, what's going on, what changes are happening. And then as we transition into Act 3, we're getting more involved in understanding their needs and their situation and helping us understand as salespeople what to sell and what capabilities of product or service and how to go about or the strategic side of the sales process. So we determine both what and how to sell during Act 3.
Okay, and I guess I'm wondering why questions are so important to building client trust and engagement, and what gives the salesperson the right to ask their potential clients these kinds of probing questions?
Okay, great question. Let me cover the benefits of questioning first, and there are many. To me, Nathan, the question is the artful process of selling. It's the part that allows us to be very, very creative and masterful in the work that we do on our sales calls. In my opinion, the question is the number one tool that the professional salesperson has available to him or her. What questions allow us to do? A question allows us to close the sale or gain commitment from the customer.
Sure.
But questions also allow us to open the sale. And, if we don't open the sale properly, we'll never have a chance to close it. So the sale is not just made when we ask, a closing question. It begins to happen as we open the sale with our questions. Questions allow the salesperson to sell his or herself. They allow them, the salesperson is allowed to demonstrate that they are consultants. They're allowed to demonstrate their interest in the customer by questioning. They can demonstrate a very thorough approach to the sales process, a very thoughtful approach to the sales process. And, of course, they allow us to be good listeners. If you're good at asking questions, you're also probably good at listening to the answers.
Sure.
I think in addition to those, our questions help us become more strategic about our selling because we know, time frame and buying influence and certain categories of questions that will allow us to plan and strategize the work that we do. It also helps us understand what to present. What are the most important characteristics of your product that you'll need to present to satisfy the needs of the customer that you've uncovered? So I think the bottom line on questioning, it really helps you differentiate yourself and your company and your products from the competition. Because you do a more thorough job of understanding the customer situation, you are able to present more targeted solutions to customer needs. And the person that does that the best differentiates himself or herself from all the competitors that are out there. So there are so many things that questions help us do, Nathan. Questions
Sure.
help us build emotion and into a sale. They help us qualify and you use our time properly because we're calling on the right people and doing the right things at the right time. And in addition, they help us balance the communication between the salesperson and the customer. Most salespeople feel that their role is more talking than asking. And most sales calls, until someone learns action selling, a higher percentage of the time the salesperson is talking on the sales call than the customer. After education on sales, on action selling, the salesperson talks far less and the customer talks much more.
Okay. Well, you know, Dwayne, that leads me into my next question. Because I get this so often, and I imagine a lot of our audience does too, in that we feel a great deal of pressure to quickly deliver our sales pitch because our client has put a time constraint around the interaction we're going to have with them. So my next question is this. It's, why is giving into this pressure and delivering the sales pitch, which may be exactly what our client is asking for, detrimental to the overall sales process?
Well, I'm glad you used the word pitch. I actually hate that word as what it means. And it's not in my dictionary. Let me tell you a quick story.
Sure.
And this will help demonstrate, what I mean about, talking less and listening more. And this really is the catalyst for, and the reason that I wrote this book on questioning is, I participated in an event at a club that I belong to on the Big Island of Hawaii. And my wife and I attended it together. And it was a fancy wine tasting event that was sponsored by the golf club that I belong to. And they had a featured speaker there who was an expert and sold, high-end vintages to bars and restaurants. Now, the club manager who organized this, wanted us to meet this man and described him as, an expert, and his expertise was on wine was incredible, and, it certainly was. And he gave a presentation, Nathan, that was, it was absolutely superb, and he was very flamboyant, he was funny, and he was fascinating, and he wowed us with his information about how wine is made and background information on vineyards, and we were spellbound. After the presentation, one of my friends that also attended it said, wow, that guy is the ultimate salesperson. And that kind of hit me between the eyes, because the outcome of his sales call, if you will, or his presentation, none of us opened our wallets and bought bottles or cases of wine, and nor did the food and beverage manager that was also in attendance. So, I was kind of stopped in my tracks and thinking, the guy is absolutely world-class at what he does. But what he did was talking, not selling.
Sure.
And in my opinion, someone like that, who is traditionally viewed as, here's a real sales guy, in my book, that person today is a dinosaur, and they're on their way to extinction. And the way that we sell today has to be far different than the word pitch describes.
Sure. Okay. Well, Dwayne, I wanted to ask about another trap, which I think is related, and that I so often experience during the course of my sales calls. And that is, I'm engaging with the client, and I'm asking them some questions. And then they come back at me with a question which I believe to be the trap. And they simply say, well, tell me about your product and service and its qualities and features. And of course, this puts me right back in the situation where I'm now getting back into that proverbial sales pitch. So my question is this. How can a professional salesperson avoid this sort of trap?
Well, we all know that these things happen. And, the customer is unintentionally, guiding the conversation, and he or she is trying to make a determination of whether or not your product or service is a match for what their needs might be. But, of course, you haven't asked any questions, you really don't know what those needs what exactly those needs are.
Right.
So in
right.
sales, the person that's listening is the person that's in control. The person that's talking is being controlled.
Okay.
So
okay.
when someone asks you, tell me about blank, they are taking control of the conversation. So, you know, when you listen, you can think of a whole bunch of alternative things, but when you're talking, you usually have to stay focused on what you're saying, usually. Most of us have to. So the person that is listening, they can be thinking through things through and planning and orchestrating the sales call, whereas the person that's talking cannot do that. So early in a sales situation, when it's very important to let the customer air his or her feelings and thoughts about what the needs are and what the issues might be, that's when you need to be asking questions and sitting back and listening, carefully taking notes on what the needs and issues are so you can use them later on in your presentation. The customer asks you a question. What I suggest, you know, during this Act 2 and 3 that we're talking about, when the customer asks you a question during that period, no, you don't just avoid it, but you give a summary answer. And you immediately follow your answer with a question, an open-ended question. And that allows you to regain control of the situation and put it in the perspective it needs to be. First, you need to understand, and then you need to present. You don't present hoping that something hits the mark. That's not good selling today.
This really came to the forefront for me this past week on a sales call to a potential client. I did feel like our team had lost control of the conversation because the client had gotten us talking instead of us engaging them and listening. And part of the way through the presentation, we stopped and started asking them questions. And it really got them engaged in the conversation, and it got them talking. And as soon as it got them talking and us listening, I really felt like we regained control of the conversation. And the other thing it did was it really revealed a whole gambit of other needs that they had that we really didn't understand and had no idea that these existed, but for which we were fully capable of serving. We could help them in these areas, but it wasn't until we had stopped and started asking questions that these came to light, and then we recognized this much broader opportunity that was sitting before us.
Well, you did well then, Nathan. And the key there is, if you're answering the question, the customer may be thinking of another question. So what happens is the call turns and you begin to respond to a series of question after question after question. And no, yeah. I know we've all been in that situation. And that is not what needs to happen, particularly during Acts 2 and 3 of a sales call. You need to be asking the question, encouraging the customer to talk. So when you get that first question, it might be something like, well, Nathan, tell me about your company. You
okay.
should have a very, very short and very crisp comment that you will make about your company. And before you stop talking, before the customer is able to ask you the next question, you ask them a question. Again, it has
okay.
to be open-ended. You know, who, what, where, why, when, or how. Question that can't be answered yes or no. So as you're answering the customer's question in your brief form, you are thinking of the question that you're going to be using to put the customer back in the position where they're doing the talking and you're doing the listening.
Duane, switching now to asking the best questions. In action selling, you talk a great deal about preparing for the sales call and preparing the best questions for that call. What information should the salesperson's questions be seeking to bring out of their potential client?
Okay. Well, the answer to that question is it depends on the sales call that you're on.
Okay.
If this is the first call and your objective is to get another meeting, maybe it's a phone call, and your objective for that call, we call it a commitment objective, is to schedule a meeting. Well, during that phone call, you're not going to be covering all the bases or asking all of the questions, but you will ask a question or two to draw out needs for having that meeting. Okay. It may
okay.
not be anything about your product or their situation or needs for your product, but it might be a need for information that you will be able to share with them during a face-to-face meeting or another phone meeting, depending on how you operate. So it depends on the call. Now, if your call is that face-to-face meeting and the primary objective of is it to conduct a needs analysis, and your commitment objective is then to schedule another meeting to present a proposal, let's say.
Okay.
You will ask a lot of questions during that needs analysis. We paint a map for salespeople. We call it the questions map. And the questions map covers all of the categories of questions that should be answered during the course of a selling situation. And many of those will be asked during that needs analysis call. I'll give you some examples.
Okay.
Understanding, the problems that exist and the opportunities that might be available. So I always prepare a question around that. Having questions that understand issues that are relative to the company, issues that might be relevant to the person that you're talking to, and questions that might be around money or budget. Those questions will help you understand what to sell. Those are needs and issues primarily. The other portion of the questions map helps you with your strategy. You talk about, or you ask questions, about competition. Who is
okay.
it? Okay. Where do they stand? Are they ahead or behind? You ask questions about time frame, about when a decision might be made or when they'd like to see these problems go away. You'd ask questions about buying influences, who besides the person you're talking to might be involved in the decision to make a purchase what you're going to recommend. So those are the categories of questions that will be asked during a selling situation. And I always prepare questions ahead of the call. I write them down so I have a place to start.
Now, in understanding, then, the information we as salespeople want to get out of our clients during the sales call, is there a method or a process that we can use to develop the appropriate kinds of questions to ask?
Oh, yes. Yes. And again, this is the artful part. There are certain questions that we can package ahead of a call. Like I said earlier, I always prepare some questions that I will ask going into a sales call. But as talented salespeople, we need to be able to develop questions during the call as we
okay.
go. Questions should link together. So let me give you an example.
Okay.
Let's say we are starting our needs assessment with the customer, and we ask a question like this. When you take a look at your current situation and you evaluate the things that are really going well, alongside the things that you'd like to make some improvements in, or you'd like to see some improvements made, what things come to mind? Okay, that's kind of a broad question, and I always put what the concerns might be at the tail end of the question, because that's usually what they spend the most time answering, and that's what I want to hear. And from those answers, I need to be prepared to link questions to those answers to keep them talking about the problem. We want to hear not only what the problem is, but what the implications of it are, who's impacted by it, how it's hurting their business, what it means to them personally, and why they need to have a solution in place for it, and what will it mean to that individual that you're talking to have that problem solved or to capitalize on that opportunity. Those are leverage questions, chances to turn up the heat on an issue that exists. So I suggest two things.
Okay.
Number one, always preparing some starter questions. Like I said earlier, the question about when you take a look at your current situation and you evaluate it, what things come to mind. That's a starter question that I would use to get things rolling. And in each of the categories of questions, I would have a starter. But then the art part, the part that we have to practice, the part where we need to develop our skills around, is linking additional open-ended questions to those starter questions. So you have long conversations and deep-level conversations and conversations where the emotional side of the sale is exposed and we understand what's in it for the customer to have these things fixed or to capitalize on these opportunities that exist. So be prepared with starter questions and then learn how to ask the right kind of questions and link them together to have long conversations and deep-level conversations with the customer about their situation.
Okay. Now, Dwayne, before we close, I did have one more question on what I thought was one of the really powerful message of the question book. And that was how the salesperson demonstrates his or her knowledge and understanding of the client's business and industry through questions. I was wondering, could you describe for the audience how questions can be structured so that they convey this message to the client?
Okay. I call the strategy that we use for that questioning process, I call it backtracking benefits. And the reason I call it that is I like to back into the needs of the customer. So I will look at the capabilities that I have in my product or in my service. I look at what differentiates us, or where can we be slightly better than others, and where do we have an edge. And from those features, I will describe to myself what the benefits of those are, and then I'll connect them to needs that can be potentially satisfied with those features and benefits. So what needs do those capabilities provide a solution for? All right. From there, I develop questions to uncover those needs. So that's where the backing in is. I back up from what are my strengths, to what needs do they satisfy, to developing questions that will draw out those needs for the customer. Can you imagine this? You're loading your gun with ammunition. That's what asking the best questions allows you to do. You want to load your gun with the right kind of ammunition. And the right kind of ammunition is ammunition that allows you to differentiate yourself and your company and your products from the competition. So
sure.
By using a backtracking benefits method, you can ask the right questions and agree on the right needs and be completely unique from every other salesperson on the planet. So you do it right, you do it well, and your product, even though it appears to be a commodity, will be differentiated in the mind of the customer because of the way you've gone through your questioning process.
Excellent. Well, Dwayne, I want to thank you not only for sharing your time with us, but also your insights on asking the best questions. I've thoroughly enjoyed reading Questions, The Answer to Sales, not only for the depth of insight you share, but also for the unique perspectives of both the salesperson and the buyer presented within the book. And what I particularly appreciated about the Questions book was how you addressed the concerns and doubts of the student salesperson in the book. You know, this perspective helped me understand my doubts and better appreciate why questions are the solution to many of the sales challenges I face in my day-to-day work. I highly recommend Questions, the Answer to Sales, to all our listeners and hope they will use the action selling process to build trust and to better engage with their clients. Thank you again for joining us.
Thank you, Nathan. It was fun to be with you. And this book in particular, I really loved writing. It takes place on a golf course where Mitch, who the pitchman Mitch and Pitch, they kind of rhyme.
Yeah.
he's the guy with a problem. And his old pal Harry helps him out during a game of golf. So anybody that knows anything about a golf or enjoys it, I would really appreciate reading this book and hearing the story of Mitch and Harry.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed this special edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast. I would like to personally thank Dwayne Sparks for being with us today and sharing his insights on building client trust and engagement by asking the best questions. As always, we would appreciate receiving your feedback by email at podcast@strategydriven.com. If you enjoyed the show, please consider voting for us on Podcast Alley and visiting our website at www.strategydriven.com. You can find more information about Dwayne Sparks and Questions, the Answer to Sales, at www.actionselling.com. Until next time, so long.